Hi, you're listening to the Petri.com MJF chat show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF chat is going to be focused on how to get ready for Windows Server 2022. And my special guest for this chat is Michael Reinders, a systems engineer and a new Petri.com contributor. Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this chat.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So this is a huge topic, and we're going to try to keep it to our usual 30 minutes. So I think a good way to start out might be to say, what do we think Windows Server 2022 is? And the reason I say think is because Microsoft's been dribbling out bits of information about this in kind of a haphazard way over the past year or so. So we do know it's the next on-premises version of Windows Server, and that it's going to be an LTSC release, which means long-term servicing channel. So, Michael, what else do we know about this thing right now?
Yeah, so it's going along the line of Microsoft's, you know, recent scheduled release of LTSC releases, Windows Server, you know, 2016, Windows Server 2019, and 3+3+3, Windows Server 2022. So they're going in line with what they've done. It's essentially, you know, they started releasing the semi-annual channel server releases, which included, you know, more features at a steadier pace, like every 6 months with, you know, the Windows 10 client. But this is the you know, hardened LTSC release, just like with Windows 10. So it's the standard for, again, on-premise. So it's just what you install or upgrade to and get, I think that they're still saying 10 years of support.
Right, that's good. I'm glad you think that too, because they have been cutting length of support of some of their LTSC products, but I don't think they've said they're cutting Windows Server so far.
Right, so Office 2021, which they just released yesterday, a preview of, that's gonna go to 5 years.
Yeah,
I think that's coinciding with Windows 10 LTSC, right?
Yeah, Windows 10 Enterprise LTSC, also 5 years now.
Right.
So yeah, we'll say 10 until we hear otherwise.
Right. So with the server product, it's interesting. The other note I had right off the bat was how these are tied together. So I think I know you're going to ask this a little later on, but because Windows Server 2019, the last LTSC, that was Windows 10, I think version 1809. So there's code-based similarities. But the thing with this one is this going to be with Windows 10 21H1 or 21H2?
Right.
Now, probably not, because the build numbers are different. Plus 21H2 is supposed to be the new, you know, the Sun Valley GUI. And so that's kind of the one I was talking about, dribbling out, you know, here's a month, here's a one piece of information for the public. We'll see you in a month. So we'll see.
Exactly. I know. That was one thing I was going to ask you, because a year ago when Microsoft first said, by the way, this is going to be the LTSC release of Server, they said it'll be out towards the end of calendar 2021. But since that happened, I've heard from some of my contacts that Microsoft is no longer necessarily tying the release of server and client together. They've actually decoupled the releases. So if that is true, Server 2022 doesn't have to wait for Windows Server 21H2, right? It could even come this summer, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So that's funny, because decoupled, now does that mean like GA release, RTM, I know. GA release.
That's a good question. Right. I think it means they're on their own independent tracks for engineering and development. So it technically, I would think it could mean that Server could be out earlier. And Jeff Woolsey, who's one of the big Windows Server guys on Twitter for Microsoft, he's been hinting around like, yeah, it might be out sooner than you think. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if they're going to release Server like maybe late, or you know, midsummer, late summer.
Yeah.
They could. It's kind of done, right? I mean, they're kind of in the final phases of it.
Yeah,
so.
Done. I mean, it's fun. It's interesting because now, really quick, yeah. So, like the other question about decoupling is like the code base. So,
right.
Of course, we have no idea what the build number set is going to be for 21H2 for Windows 10, because of course mm-hmm. the dev channel is not tied to release, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But they're making, and then I'll get to this a little later on, but they are making, like there's like branding changes, even in the recent builds, mm-hmm. in terms of what it's called. Because like, I don't know, month and a half ago, they finally dubbed and put in the setup program Windows Server 2022.
Right.
Sudo publicly announced that, but now recently they've stripped that out and it says, you know, it says Microsoft Server Operating System Setup instead of just like setup.
Right.
So that just happened, but we'll see what that means.
Right. So that is interesting. I saw that change being it wasn't announced, it was acknowledged. I think one of our frequent commenters, Taro Elhonen, he posted a picture of it and then somebody from Microsoft on the server team, I'm forgetting who this was, said, you know, don't read too much into that. This is just us using a placeholder name because of how we have Azure. God, they have so many names now. Windows Server, Azure something.
Yes.
Azure Edition. Yeah. So I think they need to rename this. I think they need to rename the whole family of Azure and Windows Server because of how they do hybrid computing, right? It's very confusing, these different names like Azure Stack, HCI, and now they've got mm-hmm. Windows Server, Azure Edition. I'm like, okay, so they've got to have some more consistency in the naming because I think it's very choppy and kind of unclear what right. is what anymore.
Right, because I got, yeah, Azure, you said the magic word. Because a couple of years ago, you discovered that, you know, the engineering, like I think it was January and June is when Microsoft, at least on the window, like the client
right.
side, finalizes the code base, so to speak,
right.
For Azure. I mean, literally for Azure first, and then, you know, enterprise
right.
customers home later. But that's how they, you know, the engineering model. So that's the question is, so like, this is nothing really pertinent, but when you have a Windows Server, like when Azure hosts Windows Server for, say, SQL Server, mm-hmm. what are they mm-hmm. using? Are they, you know, when do they right. solidify their build of Server 20? You know, are they using Server 2019 on the back end to host everything in Azure for all the customers? That's mm-hmm. another curiosity about if this is tied to Azure in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this kind of leads me into another question for you. Do you, as a tester of Server, actually get any more help or information from Microsoft about what's in, like, I feel like we get a lot of new builds of Server and we just see a post go up saying, yeah, there's a new build of Server out and there's absolutely nothing in it as far as a change log, a list of new features, a list of fixes, nothing. I'm curious if testers actually see or know anything more than that.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm, I guess I'm officially, I mean, I'm technically a tester.
Right.
But yeah, so the Windows Insider program in the past announced these builds, and yes, mm-hmm. they often did not show almost any new features, not like the Windows 10 client builds. But I even pressed one of them, a month ago maybe. So I noticed that Windows Server 22 preview build, blah, 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 just came out. You know, what is there information anywhere? Yeah, she let me know. So there's a Windows Server Insiders community forum that actually
okay.
is hosting and posting these releases. So
okay.
we can have you, you know, publish that on Twitter somewhere
mm-hmm.
after this. But so that actually does announce each of the new server builds coming out. There's two builds from August or September, actually, 2201, 2206, that actually describe the new features that are coming in 2022. From a
okay.
pretty detailed standpoint, which we've probably seen, probably is what you probably posted back in September or that time frame or August about what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But right, I mean, even the new features, they're barely saying anything about what is new and included, I'm sure, which leads to your theory about it being done, in quotes, that it's probably
mm-hmm.
just being tweaked, branding, fixing, you know, last minute bugs, that kind of thing. But
right.
In terms of that, I don't have any access. And like I said, I just discovered okay. that forum like less than a month ago. So
okay.
There is one bug or question in these in Server 22 that I'll get to later on. It's one of the questions that we'll get to later.
Okay. We've kind of hinted that there aren't a ton of new features, at least ones we've seen them post about in this coming release. But is there anything that they have said that you think is especially interesting to IT pros or really stands out? So I saw they have some things coming with Azure Arc, you know, as a way to manage and govern Windows Server. They've got things about storage migration service and some mm-hmm. new threat protection, but is there anything that you saw that you were like, okay, that's really interesting that that's in there, or is it just kind of more goodness all the way around?
Yeah, I think just goodness all the way around. There's yep. some UDP performance improvements, TCP performance improvements that looks interesting, okay. that you'll just be in general once you get, you know, once you're running that server. AES 256 encryption, which I believe is new. I think it's going to be an option. Mm-hmm. Compression being added for when you're doing like robocopy or xcopy, using that to copy files from A to B. There's mm-hmm. some compression, and if it's compatible with patched Windows Server 2019 and Windows 10 computers also have this. So if you're copying from any one of those machines to a Server 22 file server, it's going to actually compress that. It's probably going to be, you know, stupid faster. So that'll be mm-hmm. an IT pro kind of like, okay, cool. You mentioned storage migration. I'm just looking through the post here. It is, mm-hmm. you know, they're Microsoft releasing a new LTSC release on-prem because enterprises need it.
Exactly.
Does Microsoft really nitty gritty want to? Yeah, well, we'd rather just focus on Azure, get everybody up in the cloud. So it's, The good, especially with 2019 and 2022, at least their high level Windows Server marketing has been, this will help you get into Azure.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, server, the containers, so they always keep optimizing the server core containers space wise. I mean, even just like an install of 2022, like the core version, you know, which doesn't include the GUI, it uses mm-hmm. like 8 gigabytes on the virtual machine in the C drive, which is crazy small.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. We have a lot of people who submitted questions on Twitter about this chat, and a lot of them are very specific. They want to know, is this feature going to be in? I realize unless you have some secret back channel, we may not know the answer to all of these things, but I'm going to ask them anyway. And saying don't know is a totally acceptable thing here, but I think it just shows people are super curious about what's coming with this.
As am I. It's exciting.
Yep. So Miha Peknik on Twitter asked if you know of anything coming on the Active Directory front specifically. And he said, you know, based on what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem like a release with a lot of features, but he's very interested in AD.
Yeah. So in terms of AD features, and this is probably the question of, it typically it's been tied to, you know, other domain and functional levels that are added. So like, because domain, when you have an on-premise domain, you have a forest and a domain functional level. It's kind of like for on security, what features in like the Active Directory users and computers tool. They essentially stopped so far at Windows Server 2016. So mm-hmm. when you upgrade to Windows Server 2019, your domain controllers, there's no new forest or functional level. So it hasn't been publicly announced or specified, and I'm actually going to probably find out, which I'll allude to. I'm going through just testing upgrading Server 2016, an on-premise domain, an AD domain to 2022. So I'll probably find out for sure. But yep. it doesn't look like there's going to be new forest and domain functional levels in 2022. Okay. And this probably ties to enterprise. Let's keep things clean. Let's keep things easy. We're getting people into Azure Active Directory. Who cares about AD? A high level marketing potential theory from Microsoft.
Okay, Cool. That was actually one of the questions specifically about the forest and domains that Taro Elhonen had. He asked a lot of questions on Twitter for this chat. So one of the ones I thought was kind of interesting is if you've seen in any of the builds that you've been testing any references to the code name of which engineering branch this might be from. So, you know, Microsoft's using the periodic table of elements to refer to the different semesters when they build features. So he said, have you seen anything that indicates whether Server 2022 is iron, cobalt, or even nickel? Have you seen anything like that?
This is iron. Right now it's FE underscore release. I'm not sure when that started, but so when you install them, what do you call it in the lower right corner? The Windows 10 insiders have always loved when they removed that. Close to a release.
Watermark thing.
Windows Server 20, right when they started saying Windows Server 2022 data center or standard. Yes, so it is FE underscore release, so it will be iron.
It's iron.
Which is just interesting to see because the Windows 10 dev just went to Cobalt.
Right.
Which of course is interesting because that again, if we're thinking, and of course they just switched to Cobalt, I think they were on iron. Mm-hmm. So maybe that last branch before they branched Windows 10 to Cobalt, that iron release, that they might have just frozen that code per se, or are keeping that in sync with Server 22, and that's how they're gonna.
Yeah.
I don't know, because then it doesn't make sense, because what's 21H2? Windows 10 going to be? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I know why Paul is not really listening to these things.
What makes this even harder to explain to people from my standpoint is in the old days, you could say a particular code name referenced, it basically was equal to what they were building inside of engineering. But that isn't the case anymore. So they have semesters when they build features, but you don't necessarily have to take all the features that are built in a semester to put it into a publicly available release. Like you could even take something from a future release and backport it to something. So it really confuses the lines, right? It's not just like Cobalt. You can't just say Cobalt is 21H2. You can't say that because there may be features from iron. There may be features from nickel coming into those different things. So it's hard because we all want something very definitive that we can call a release, like have a code name, but it doesn't work like that anymore.
Because Windows 10 20H2, it's kind of the last minute, they from the dev build, they were like, they tweaked the start menu, and I know Mary Jo, you were a total fan of GUI.
I was like stunned by that.
Like you're looking at how it was and how it is now, and you would say, I don't know the same difference.
I don't. I'm terrible that way. I really don't have an eye for UI and UX changes very much. So.
But they put that into 20H2, like, and which they can, but it was kind of a surprise. And then of course they just announced it Wednesday with this week the news and interests is now going to like all supported version. That was yesterday, so you missed it on Windows Weekly. So that's been going back to all supported versions of Windows 10. Oh my goodness.
Yep. It's a big messy world. I know, right? Okay, I've got more questions from Taro. He had a lot of things to ask. He wanted to know about DNS over HTTP for 2022. And I don't know if you've heard anything about whether the Windows DNS server is getting this particular feature or not, but he was wondering.
Yeah, I know that like on the client side, I haven't seen it on server, and I would totally, because that's kind of big, and I would totally would have assumed that that would have been even sprinkled out from Microsoft by now. So I'm guessing no, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, that's good. He also wanted to know about WSL, which is the Windows subsystem for Linux V2, the new one, if that may be supported in Windows Server 2022.
So this is literally a... we don't know, and I'll tell you why. I'm trying to be as brief as I can. So I got one of the Windows Server 22 test builds, and I was gonna try that because I saw that question. So and of course on Windows 10 Insider builds and now Windows Server 22, you go to administrative command prompt or PowerShell, you type WSL space dash dash install, It literally does everything for you. It's ridiculous. But installs the subcomponents, downloads Ubuntu, and asks you to reboot your machine. So when I go through those, I looked online to find the commands to, you know, enable WSL2 and make that Ubuntu version 2. So as soon as you type that command in, and I confirmed it, hit enter, and it just, it basically spits back as if you typed in WSL-help. Like, here are the commands you can use. So I found online, it's been broken in like the last month or so, enabling WSL2, and there's been no response from Microsoft yet. So will WSL2 support be in Tor 22? I have no idea. We're going to find out before it's released, I guess.
Yeah. I would guess yes, right? I mean, is there any reason it wouldn't?
I don't know. I don't know why it wouldn't. And I know I don't, my brain doesn't naturally go to using WSL on a server operating system, but that's my lack of experience. But I have no idea why they've had WSL version 2 for, I don't know, a year in Windows 10. Or why they, and it's not, I don't know if you can even enable it on server 2019. I'm not sure, but it would be very odd and if they did not make sure it's fixed for release. Yeah.
Okay. A couple more very specific feature questions. Matthew Rays wondered about TLS version 1.3 and will it be available in IIS?
So actually, I did see the TLS version 1.3 will be on by default, and you'll have to, and which means, you know, FTP, HTTPS, you know, and IIS. So that should be out of the box. And probably it's they're always on the security mantra. I'm sure you would have to optionally, you know, enable TLS 1.1 or 1.2. 1.0 might even be like out of support or something. But yeah, TLS 1.3 will be on by default.
Okay, great. Daniel Vicklund asked about ADFS 5.0 support for multi-tenant, multi-factor authentication registration. Wow, that's a mouthful. So you know anything on that?
Then I'm not sure. I know ADFS, at least if he's asking ADFS 5.0, that's tied to Windows Server 2012 R2, unless I read that wrong. That I honestly don't know. I mean, when I hear MFA registration, I think of Azure AD. So it might be just something I'm not too familiar with. But that I have not seen a yes or no answer on.
Okay, great.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I feel like that's the biggest thing I write anymore when it comes to Windows. We just don't know.
That's the change. That's the way it is right now.
All right, now let's do some pure speculation stuff. Padre Pado on Twitter wanted to have you do some guesses about how Windows Server might evolve over the next decennium. that's a big question mark. Okay, so he specifically asked about classic roles. So he means things like WSUS, WDS, remote desktop, DNS, DHCP, clustering. Do you think these will get somewhat decent attention, or do you think these will be downplayed in the future? Any just kind of random observations on that?
Yeah, I'm like we said earlier, I would guess things will simply be downplayed and slowly deprecated. Like WSUS, when you go to, I haven't tried it on 2022, but I remember doing it on Windows Server 2019, just installing the WSUS. I don't know if it's a role or probably a feature.
Yeah.
Essentially unchanged from, I want to say, Server 2012, not even R2, like Server 2012. So it's all going on 10 years. It's there. And I know remote desktop services, they've kind of done some tweaks on recent server releases. And AD, of course, like I said, it's there. They haven't added any features to it. Mm-hmm. I think this is just every 3 years, it's just moving more of these. And again, all these services have either been reimagined, replaced. Mm-hmm. You know, WSUS is, you know, SCCM, or Windows Microsoft Configuration Manager in the cloud with Azure. That handles the exact same duties that WSUS handles. WDS, you know, Windows Virtual Desktop could even be a, not technically accurate, but it could be a replacement. DNS, DHCP, I mean, that's all can be handled by Azure. Clustering, again, there's some clustering new features, but it's more like for the IT pro. I think there's some more network validation tests, I believe, now with the failover cluster service role, which is obviously a good thing. You know, a better before you get that cluster going, it's going to confirm that all the networking is right. But like I said, I think it's just this slow, because this is enterprise and there's 100,000 PC companies out there, slow transition to the cloud. I mean, I believe if Microsoft had their way, they wouldn't be releasing a new, you know, like the Office 2021.
Right.
On-prem, essentially, not Microsoft 365, you know, a new project server, a new SharePoint server, everyone would go to the cloud, because then they have one Azure engineering base to support and grow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be their goal too, but I think it's great that they are still continuing to listen to customers and make available these on-premises products. And these aren't the last versions either. They've said there'll be more coming in the future. Right. So yeah, I think that's goodness for sure.
Cool.
Okay, so any last things you want to make sure to add about Server 2022? And I want to, I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but I know you're working on a series for Petri about Server. Could you talk a little about that and what you're doing there?
Yeah. So I just kind of hinted at that before. Like I said, I bought myself a new desktop computer, which I haven't done in 15 or 20 years as an aside. Wow. I've always had my day job, I've always had at least a laptop for work, essentially. And you can use as a personal device, blah, blah, blah. But it's a silly, not inexpensive HP, you know, the Z2 kind of the enterprise workstations, and it's loaded with RAM and hard drive space. So right now I'm building, I have a Windows Server 2016, a couple domain controllers, a file server, a core file server, I'm using Windows Admin Center, which is the tool to manage that they released, which I was actually at Ignite 2017, where they literally announced Windows Admin Center. I don't think it was even called that then. It was Operation or some code name something. I don't remember anymore. So I have all these, and then another file server. So I'm going to plan to go through and upgrade this environment. I'm going to ask also that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's cool. Like a real hands-on, like here's what it's like to upgrade.
Right. So it's kind of like the series is going to be like, okay, here's the IT pro getting ready for Windows Server 2022. What do you need to know? What are the gotchas? What do you need to plan for? You know, before you upgrade your file server, you make sure you do these things. Like before you upgrade your domain controllers, which of course it's huge. You know, in the past, it's been, you have to spend money for a third party to make sure everything is right, or pay Microsoft to do it right, because it was so intricately involved and so high risk and impact. But we just, you know, like the day job I have, we did that about a year ago. We went from 2008 R2 to Server 2019 for our domain controllers.
Oh, wow.
And there were a few little gotchas post-it, but I mean, it was within a week or so. I mean, we were done. I mean, and it was, you know, four domain controllers. So anyway, it's still a foundation to your on-premise Active Directory domain. So I'll be going through that over the next couple months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it all ties in with, you know, the actual release, and it'll be a good series for IT pros to keep tabs on, because we know it's Microsoft, so we know there's going to be a surprise, and why was this at the last minute, or why was this added, or he didn't tell us about this. So hopefully we'll Petri and I can keep everyone in tune.
That's awesome.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Right. Also, I wanted to ask, any other resources you'd recommend for IT pros who are trying to keep up with what's going on with Windows Server? We mentioned the blog that they have that you found recently, where they talk about some of the new builds that they've been putting out with Server 2022. But is there anything else you use regularly as a resource yourself to keep up with this?
I don't think anything beyond what we mentioned. Like I said, I'm following a good number of the server PMs. And like you said, Jeff Wolseley is definitely one of the heads of Windows Server. A couple of the heads of Azure in terms of, Azure platform, I guess you'd say. But, you know, like I'm following a lot of people on Twitter, and just, again, I literally just discovered this couple of weeks ago, the Windows Server Insiders community forum that is actually publishing these new releases. But aside from that, it's mostly, you know, again, techcommunity.microsoft.com. They are publishing new features, mostly in like Windows 10 or Office, Microsoft 365 apps for enterprise, that kind of thing. But I actually don't have any really secret or even just a common thing beyond what we just mentioned.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I found it super interesting, and I know the readers and listeners will too. So thanks, Michael.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Great. And for everyone else who's listening right now to this chat or reading the transcript, I'll be putting up more information soon about who my next guest is going to be. Once you see that, you can submit questions directly on Twitter using hashtag MJFChat for that guest. In the meantime, if you know of anyone else or even yourself who might make a good guest for one of these chats, please do not hesitate to drop me a note. Thank you very much.